If you're looking at your bulletin, we have selected for our theme through Easter last Sunday and this Sunday, before and after. And last Sunday we were talking about, as the Bible titles it, the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. He was going to go into Jerusalem, and boy, everybody was cheering, everybody was excited. They were taking the limbs off of trees and they were throwing them in his path, taking parts of their clothing, put it in his path. They were expecting this incredible general, victor, king type thing, that he could just go right into Jerusalem. And that's exactly what he did. He went right in there. The only thing that was missing was, instead of a white stallion, which was usually reserved for the general who had just won this huge victory, Jesus was riding on a donkey, a young donkey at that. So just not quite the contrast that we're expecting over the victory. But can I just tell you, even though that we're not going to talk about it in length today, that when Jesus hit Jerusalem, boy, everything fell apart. He went into the temple and he found out that everybody had turned God's house, he said, which was supposed to be a house of prayer, into these money exchangers for all these things. Because you see, Jesus was going along with everybody else to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. This was a feast. It was a huge celebration. I really don't know what to compare it in our current day, because we don't travel to a certain city for a certain reason as a whole nation. But that's what they were doing. And there was this big celebration that was supposed to go on, and everybody was yelling, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." And everybody was on a big high. You ever notice that some of your highest highs just in a matter of seconds can turn into your lowest lows? That one phone call can change excitement into depression. And that's kind of what started happening the minute Jesus hit Jerusalem. Went in there, cleared the temple. He said, "You're not going to do this in my Father's house." And boy, that made a lot of people mad. This is the way they made their living. And then it got worse. Jesus went to celebrate the Passover with his disciples, and he announced to them, "One of you are going to betray me." I mean, stop and think about it. Here you are. You're going to probably have Easter dinner with somebody. It's a group of people. I know we did it every Easter. We went to my grandmother, my grandfather's house. Now, this was after my dad whipped me, spanked me for not remembering how to tie a tie a year ago. And then we all get all dressed up, and we had the hairy haircuts. Slicked it back with Brill Cream, put little waves in our head, straight to church. So we went to church and went back to my grandmother's house, and we ate, and it was awesome. And the big, big, big meal with the Easter egg hunt after that. And I had cousins. I mean, there was a lot of us. Can you imagine, in the middle of all of that, my grandfather stands up and he says, "I got an announcement to make. One of you guys is going to turn on me. One of you guys is going to give me up." I mean, we don't, even with that example, you can't just visit that moment correctly. But he announced this, and there was confusion. Everybody said, "Is it me? Is it me? Is it me?" And we know who it was, because we read the book. It was Judas. That stinking rat was right there the whole time. And then they leave there, and they go to the Garden of Gethsemane. In the Gethsemane, boy, you can feel the weight through, as you read Scripture, that Jesus is having this overwhelming sense of what's happening and what's fixing to happen. He knew that he was going to the cross. He prays earnestly, "Father, if there's any way for this to go another direction, if there's a plan B, let's execute it right now." But he said, "But your will be done." And what did the disciples do? These people that he had invested 3.5 years of his life, he had walked with them. He walked out onto them on the water. He was in the boat when he said, "Be calm," in the storm. You see, they were there. They saw him open blinded eyes. They saw the lame walk. Miracle after miracle after miracle. Jesus was there. And yet after all of that, they couldn't even stay awake and pray with him over this incredible circumstance. And then it happened. Judas shows up with this crowd. The high priest guards are there. They begin to arrest Jesus. Peter rises to the occasion and goes with a sword and whacks off one of the ears of the servant. Jesus just picks it up, puts it back on his head. And then a sad part of that, at the end of that, the Bible says that they forsook him and fled. When Jesus was being arrested, all the disciples ran. Have you ever been in that situation where everybody just seems to disappear? It's kind of like doing something on the group plan. "Hey, you know, this sounds good. Let's do this." And I'm talking about some of those foolish things you did when you were a teenager. Now, these teenagers will never do anything like what we did when we were, you know, young and stupid. You know, but you know, you ever done one of those things? You get caught and everybody disappears. Scatter, man, they're gone. And you're left there holding the bag. Well, that's what happened with Jesus. They forsook him and fled. And then came the trials. There's 6 trials on that evening. And then, of course, you know what happened next. He was flogged. He was beaten. A crown of thorns, much like the one we have on the Bible here, was placed on his head. He was nailed to a cross, and he died. and he was buried. And that's when it hit. All that was the before stuff, but now Jesus died. What are you going to do after your Savior and your Lord has just died? Listen, there's not a pastor, there's not a friend, there's not a parent, mom, dad, husband, wife, son or daughter that is exempt from tragedy. There's no one in this place that is exempt from tragedy. Hopefully death is being probably one of the biggest ones, but there's no one. We're all going to go through that. In this life, we're going to experience loss. There's going to be disasters. Aren't you excited about my real encouraging Easter presentation right now? There's going to be problems and trials, and you're going to experience storms. There's going to be trials and tests. It's not good, and it's not easy. But thank goodness that that's not the end of the story. But what are you going to do after that? You see, the question is not, will it happen? It's going to happen. These things will happen, and you're fooling yourself if you don't think that they aren't going to happen. If you're saying that'll never happen to me, you're fooling yourself. But the question obviously goes is why did it happen? We always look back, why did this happen? Listen, we might find an explanation, A, B, C, D, and it ended up with obviously this was the result. You can explain it, but answer that question. It's the unanswerable question. Why? Why do babies die? Why do people murder people? Why did this happen to me? That's exactly the question we ask sometimes. But the biggest question we have to ask, what are we going to do after it happens? What are we going to do after it happens? And that's what we learned from Jesus and his example today. What are you going to do the day after your life turns upside down? Because you've got to answer that question. There has to be something that we're going to do. I remember Dorothy Clay, she's with us today. It was around 7 years ago that we buried her mother, Granny Foster. Granny Foster was just this awesome old lady. I say that affectionately. She's just awesome. You know, we called her Granny Foster. I remember she went to the emergency room one time, and I went to see her. And after praying with everything, I was about to leave, and she grabbed my hand. She goes, I voted for you. I'm going, cool, I love Granny Foster. But it was just a couple of weeks ago that we buried her husband. You know, what are you going to do the day after something like that happens? The Hearts are with us today. I can remember it was close to that time I think it was around 2007 or so, their house burnt down. I mean, what do you do after your house just turns into ashes? The reason I can remember that, because that was the same year that my son Craig was on his way home from Evangel College with two other students in his truck, hit an icy bridge and rolled it 3 times. And when you get that phone call, matter of fact, I was on the phone with him and it just went dead. I didn't know that he'd had a crash. Boy, that's a whole lot of fun to find out that that had happened, that they are at the hospital being examined at that time. And I don't think I'll forget this year very easily. You see, back in July, we buried my dad. Then November, you know, I went skydiving without a chute out of my attic, broke this arm, got a plate and a couple of screws in there to prove that it's still there. Just last month, we buried my brother. And Wednesday, I'm headed back to surgery for the shoulder. Same answer. What do you do after these things? Because you got some choices. You got to do something. But some of you have been through devastating storms. Some of you have lost it all. And you may have measured that in financial terms. It may have been physically something that you haven't recovered. It may have been a relationship that you has been diminished. It's been affected. It may be a lot of it. Maybe it's material goods. You know, maybe your house or a car or whatever. We measure it in a lot of different ways, but the question still remains, what will you do afterwards? And the disciples had to answer that same question. What are we going to do? Jesus Christ is indeed dead. Now, you got to remind yourself that the word Jesus was Jesus' name. If you wanted to talk about him formally, you'd say Jesus of Nazareth. But his name was Jesus Christ because they thought that not only was his name Jesus, but he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, the only Messiah, the one sent from God to redeem all of us. So that's why we call him Jesus Christ. And on that day, Jesus Christ died. Remind yourself just a second what I said earlier. They were at the Last Supper. That's what we call it when he was taking the Passover meal with the disciples. They were with the garden. The 6 trials that I talked about, they went to Caiaphas and then Herod and back to Pilate and ultimately ended up in Pilate's court because Pilate was the only one who had the jurisdiction and the power to condemn a man to death, and especially through crucifixion. Have you been seeing some of those Easter movies? Yeah, I saw the Ten Commandments last night, and Charlton Heston looks really cool. I also saw, you know, that part of the other movie where here it is. It's the latest one that I think, I forget what channel did it, but here's Pilate standing up there, and he says, you know, who do you want, Barabbas or Jesus? And next thing you know, they're crying out, crucify him, crucify him. They've chosen Barabbas to be released instead of Jesus, and he literally just puts the punchline on it. He says, you have chosen to condemn murderer over this man. And actually, he called him a preacher. That's amazing. And that's the contrast that we face today. They had a choice to make. They either keep going or quit. They either keep going or quit. And in many ways, they had already made this decision. Early in John, the 6th chapter, Jesus began to teach to his disciples. Now, when you say disciples, a lot of us think of the 12 guys who followed him. They were in the boat when the boat started getting really rocked by the waves in the storm. They were the ones that followed him. Then he called them out. He said, follow me, Peter. Follow me, Matthew. But there were a bunch of disciples. There were a lot of people. Jesus always drew a crowd. He had been giving away free lunches. Remember remember when he fed everybody with the fish and the loaves? He had been doing miracles. And he drew this huge crowd, but on this occasion, he begins to teach about what it would cost them to be a follower, what it really means to be a disciple of his, and it's going to start costing you something and commitment and all these other things. And you know what? We like to sign up for something until it costs us something. But that's what he was telling. He's just being honest with them. If you're going to follow me, you have to bear a cross. That's what he said. And you know, the Bible says from that day forward, many of them turned away and left. You know, when you're giving out free lunches, everybody's around. But when you say you got to start paying for these lunches and we got to start working for these lunches and this lunch is going to cost you something, then you start dropping off like crazy. And that's exactly what they did. But here's what they said. Here's what Peter said in John the 6th chapter. Jesus said, do you also want to go away? He turned to his disciples, these 12 guys that he was mentoring, he was training, he was teaching. He said, do you guys want to go as well? And this is what they said. Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus, who at one time just looked at Peter, said, follow me, dropped his nets, left his boat, follow Jesus. The things that he had taught them and he had been an example for them. He was teacher. That word rabbi means teacher. And he was setting examples for them to follow. Here's the cool thing. It was starting to click. The things that they had seen, the things that he had taught them, and the things that they had been, these examples for them, now it started to become a part of them. They were beginning to really believe and invest themselves in Jesus. You know, I don't know what you do for a living, but the people who work with you, who really believe in what you're doing, really believe in the product, really believe in giving a good, hard, long day's work for the wages, they really believe in something productively happening. You know what? That's what you want. Especially if you're an owner or a supervisor, you want these people to buy into what we're doing and not just do their job. You don't want people to have to be paid according to their pay scale. You want to see their heart. That's what everybody wants. That's what they were beginning to see, but they lost all of that when Jesus died. You see, all that was invested in a person, and that person was nailed to a cross and a cruel, horrible death. You know, Jesus wasn't walking along all of a sudden just had a heart attack and fell dead. This wasn't a stroke. This wasn't a nasty fall. This was a cruel, long period of time, into the evening, several things happened to him. Can you imagine how disfigured he was when he finally got to the cross? How bloody he was? Well, we've seen pictures of that. I'm not trying to blow it out of proportion. I'm just telling you, when you lose something, usually it's a really ugly picture. And that's what happened to these guys. But what do you do after the day that Jesus dies? And even though Easter is not the story of Jesus' death, it's the story of Jesus' resurrection. It's not the story of him dying, it's the story of him living. And Peter, even when he heard that Jesus was alive, he didn't believe it. You see, there were these ladies in Luke, the 24th chapter, says they went to the tomb. Their job was to take the dead body of Jesus and to wrap it into these linen cloths and, beyond what's happening, and put these spices on it so that body would be preserved for a long period of time. That's what they were going to do. But when they got there, the tomb was empty. They met a couple of angels. They met Jesus himself. I love the part where Mary meets Jesus. And I think probably in her mind, the last thing she saw of Jesus was this, if you will, bloody mess. And then it was wrapped in these cloth and it had placed in a tomb. That's the last scene she had of him. So I can imagine that when she saw Jesus in his glorified body, this resurrected body, can you imagine the contrast? That may have been a little bit why she didn't recognize him. But Jesus is talking right to her. And then Jesus finally says, Mary. And I don't know if it was the tone of voice. I don't know if it was because there was that connection. But at that point, she recognized it was him. The resurrection truth is that Jesus knows your name. He knows my name. And the day after everything falls apart, Jesus says, I am right here because I am the resurrection and I am the life. Here's what happened. It talks about it in Luke, the 24th chapter. After Mary went and did what Jesus said, he said, go and tell my disciples. The Bible says they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. He went away wondering to himself what had happened. This is more a picture of dashed dreams than a bright future. This is more a picture of a very confused man than anything else. But you know, he wasn't alone. You ever noticed that sometimes your hurt, your loss, your pain seems to be so prevalent and that nobody else is going through anything? But if you'll look around, there's a lot of people going through a lot of things. You're not alone. That doesn't make you feel any better. It doesn't change your circumstances. I'll be honest with you, my paper cut's more important than your broken leg because it's my paper cut. And it may be there's no comparison, but that pain is intense to me. And I want to get it fixed. It's amazing how we make comparisons. But Peter wasn't alone. The disciples weren't alone. There were a couple of other disciples. They weren't a part of the 12, but they were there. They saw Jesus die. They're walking to a little town called Emmaus. They're talking to themselves about all the things that had happened, and they're going over in their minds the circumstances, situations. Maybe they were even talking about, what about the future? We put everything in this. You know, some of these guys, they'd put all of their eggs in one basket. Have you ever done that with an investment and lose it all? You ever threw yourself into a relationship, next thing you know, it's gone? Well, I don't have to go any further with a lot of those illustrations, but this is where these guys were. And then guess what? Jesus joins them. Again, here he is. He's in his resurrected body. They probably didn't really recognize it was him. But the Bible says that other disciples, they were walking to Emmaus. They said, what are you discussing, Jesus said. And the Bible says they stood still, their faces sad and downcast. As a commentary put it this way, they were frozen in their discouragement. You ever been there? You ever done the math and you said, there is no way. I don't have enough coming in for what's going out. I mean, we're done here. We might as well just close the doors. You ever just been so overwhelmed by the circumstances you're facing that you just find yourself nothing but discouraged? You know what? It's a tough place to be. But still, you have to ask yourself the question, when that happens, what are you going to do after the fact? So what did these disciples miss? What did Peter miss and all the other? Here's what they missed. They missed the power of the resurrection. I'm not talking about just the event. I'm talking about the power of the resurrection. And this is such a thing that is associated with Easter that we hear it and that word just rolls off our lips. We put it in print, but yet it seems to be powerless because we got a circumstance that God needs to touch and we don't know how to make the connection. Well, let me tell you the definition of a resurrection. It is the act of bringing back to life that which was dead. Bringing back to life that which was dead. I don't know what's happened in your life. I know some of your stories, but I really don't know exactly what's going on. I don't go home with you. I haven't spent 24/7 with you. Some of you, I've visited you in the hospital in my 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes are visiting you in that prayer, I'm in and out and gone. I don't know the depth of what's going on in your life. I don't know where you're hurting, whether it's openly or privately, because you know what? A lot of us just suck it up and we swallow hard and we keep it in here. And sometimes because you don't have a solution, you figure nobody else does, so we don't even share that. But the resurrection and the power of the resurrection is the power to bring back to life things that are dead. I'm going to tell you, it's a powerful thing, and if you miss it this Easter, then you're going to be just like these disciples, and we missed it. I don't know how the resurrection works. I don't know what the equation is. I don't have blueprints for it. But I know this. Only God can do it. Only God can do it. Some of you need to just wake up and realize, I'm tired of trying to make this thing work. And I need to just give it to God. Because God's the only one that's going to get me there. And it's really closely related in the result of faith. Easter is a great time of the year to just examine your faith. Christmas, we examine, we celebrate the fact that Jesus came. Now is the time that we celebrate what Jesus did. His ultimate act on earth was to raise from the dead. If he had died, then we could honor his death. We could say, great teaching, wonderful example, great man. But he's not in the grave anymore. And he may not be walking these aisles physically, but he's here today. He's alive. This isn't just a little cliche that we say at Easter. The truth of the matter is that Jesus Christ is alive. Let me tell you what the resurrection has the power to do. The resurrection has the power to create new life, to literally bring into life something brand new that was dead. Jesus of himself said this in John, the 11th chapter. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And those words may not mean anything to you today, but he is here to tell you that he's alive. So there's the opportunity for the same power to be poured into your life where something seems to have died, where something has seemed to have been greatly discouraging for you. Your storm, your loss, your betrayal, your reversal, that busted relationship, Jesus says, I'm here today as a risen from the dead to create something new in there. John, the first chapter, he says this, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. This is the description of Jesus Christ himself. You know what else the power of the resurrection has to do? It can transform. It has the power to change. There's things that we look at, we're going, there's no way. I don't care if it's financial. I don't care if it's physical. I don't care what the difficulty is. I realize there's no way. And you know what? On the human level, there's no way. That's why Jesus does miracles. He doesn't come along and put his arm around you and say, hang in there, it's going to be okay. Jesus is not the great encourager. He's the one who rose from the dead. He is the Messiah. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. And he's got a lot more to say about your circumstance other than, hang in there, bucko. It's going to be okay. We get enough of that. And thank God for all the people that are willing to come around us, cheer us on, and say, it's going to be all right. But you know what? They have power to do nothing. I remember when I was in youth ministry, I got so frustrated. Teenagers would go to teenagers and talk about their parents or talk about problems they were having, whatever. And it was great to go to your friend, and your friend said, yeah, that's right, your parents are stupid. That's right, that youth pastor doesn't know what he's saying. You know, I mean, all this stuff. The problem is, all they got was sympathy. Because their other teenagers had no power, had no money, had no resources, and they certainly didn't have any experience or wisdom or maturity. No offense, guys, you'll get there. But they had they were powerless to help each other. Jesus Christ, because he rose from the dead, has all the power in the world to change everything about you. 2 Corinthians 5 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Let me tell you what else he has to do, and this is really important. The resurrection has the power to overcome. Many of you need to know that. Beyond anything else, you need to know that he's going to help me overcome this loss that I've experienced. He's going to help me overcome these failures that I've seen in my life. He's going to help me overcome all of these things, these tremendous setbacks. I don't know what you've been facing with. Maybe you got laid off this week. I don't mean to, if you did, bless your heart. And it's so easy for me to say that. It cost me nothing. But now you're wondering, what am I going to do with my life? Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to help you overcome that situation. We're going to go somewhere with it. I am not going to leave you right here. We're going places with this thing. Romans 8:37, it says this, in all things we, everybody say we, so that you'll know that this is talking about us at this point, okay? In all things we are more than conquerors through him. Say through him. It's because of what Jesus can do. It says it's all through him who loves us, and it's all linked to one word, and that word is faith. Faith. That's a hard word. You know why? Because in the human effort, we try to muster up our faith. You know, we try to create faith by long periods of prayer. We try to make sure that we're on our knees when we're praying, because then that looks like a prayer position and a faithful position. We try to go to church and try to go to church and try to go to church. We read our Bible. We get a devotional book. all of that is wonderful. But if it ends up being human effort, then you're just going through some kind of gymnastics. You're just going through the rhetoric. And God says, listen, it's all in just believing in me, not in yourself, not in the fact that time will take care of this, everything will be all right, just time heals all wounds. Garbage. Time can't heal anything. It'll just take you down the road and separate you a little bit from the hurt. But I'm going to tell you what, that scab will always be there until Jesus heals it. That's what time does. Jesus says, listen, don't put their faith in time. Don't put your faith in yourself or fate, hoping that you know fate is all about this. No, you put it in Jesus. Faith is not to be strong or courageous or to suck it up and just keep on going and one step in front of the other. Not faith for something, but faith in someone. And his name is Jesus. This is the most difficult thing for you to absorb today, because the issues of what you have faced, the losses, the hurt, the problem is so prevalent, it's hard to get your eyes and your focus off of this onto the one who will be able to take care of all of this. And it's difficult. And it's a wonderful diversion. It's a smokescreen. Your problem just screams at you. Your checkbook is yelling, where do you think you're going to be able to pay your bills? Your body tells you constantly through pain and difficulty, this is what you're going to have to live with the rest of your life. That relationship that continues to just be just broken is constantly going to be there, because you think in the natural it'll never happen. But we have to put our faith in this person, and his name is Jesus. I can't tell you how he does it. I can only tell you who does it. And his name is Jesus. So what are you going to do after the fact that your world fell apart and you ended up upside down and you didn't know what to do? I have just one thing to offer. Give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Hardest transfer you'll ever make. Hardest transition you'll ever accomplish, because it wants to cling to you. It wants to become your personality. If you notice that sometimes when somebody has really betrayed you, you become bitter. You become angry. You don't ever want, it just gets into your gut and in your spirit. You ever notice that when somebody has betrayed you that you don't trust anybody? I'm going to talk about with financial stuff. You ever know? See, it begins to become who you are. You know what? God says, I can give you a new identity. It could be an identity of faith. It could be identity that says, I believe in Jesus. And I don't know how he does it. I don't know exactly what goes on. I just know that one day, like the blind man, I was lost, but then I was found. He says, all I know is I was blind, but now I can see. Will you do me a favor and bow your heads and close your eyes with me? We're going to conclude this service with a couple of questions. This is Easter Sunday. It's not the opportunity for me to take advantage of you being here in honor of your friends and honor of your family and to cause you to have to stand and come to the front. But it is my privilege to tell you that Jesus Christ loves you so much that he wants you to be able to leave this place today with the reassurance that regardless of what you've experienced, regardless of what you've lost, regardless of what it's cost you, and regardless of what's died in your life, Jesus says, you know what? I rose from the dead so that I could be here and walk through this with you. And my simple question is this, and you're just going to put a hand up and right back down, and I'm going to pray for you. And then we're going to end with a worship song. That's how we're going to do it. But if today you need to make that claim, you need to take that step of faith in a person named Jesus, I'm going to invite you to do so. All across this crowd, if you need Jesus to step into your life, man, the hurt is so intense, you don't know what to do. I'm going to ask you to just stick up your hand and put it right back down. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thanks. See, thank you. God knows what he's doing, and God knows where you're at. And the day after your house burns like the hearts did, you start cleaning up and wonder, what are we going to do? And you know what? They're probably saying today, oh, thanks for the reminder, Pastor Dave. Because you see, that was so long ago when God has blessed them with grandchildren and son-in-laws, and No daughter-in-laws yet, but we're praying for those guys. These are facing an awful lot of life. Because Jesus Christ says, you know what? Put your faith in me. We're going places. Anybody else, real quick? You find that there's a part in your life that's a failure. You're regretting some of your own life. No one ever knows about it. But there's, I don't know whether you call it sin or regret, whatever it is. God wants to touch that too. Would you raise your hand for that? Hey, Pastor, I want God to take that from my record. I want him to cover it with the blood of Jesus. I want him to minister to me. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, it's Easter Sunday. It's the day you rose from the dead. It's not on the calendar, but it's in our hearts. It's just our desire today, with every other church in this community, to honor the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. But God, at this moment, could you please just help it make it so much more that he rose to the dead and he lives in my life. And the very thing that I have to face and go back to tomorrow by title and by challenge, Jesus goes with me. That the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is going to create new life in me. There's new things that are going to start popping up because I am putting my faith in Jesus. That he is going to change me. I'm not going to be the same person. I'm not going to act the same way. I'm not going to talk the same way. I'm going to feel differently because he's going to transform some things in my life. He's going to change me, and he's going to help me overcome. God, this will not be the end. It will not be the last comment. It will not be the last statement of my life. Just like yours, the tomb was not the end. In many ways, it was only the beginning. I pray today, oh God, that you'll reverse that in all of our lives and let this day be the day that our lives begin brand new because of one person that we've put our faith in, and his name is Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. We're going to close with this song. And I pray that you will just have a great Easter. I pray that the resurrection power of Jesus Christ will constantly be on your mind all day long. After this song, we'll be dismissed. God bless you and thank you for being with us today.